All right, welcome back. Have you checked out this amazing UFO video right there, Coast to Coast AM? Have you checked this out? This mothership has been filmed in North Carolina. You've got to go and check this out. I would love to talk to you about this tonight. Go and watch this video, Coast to Coast AM. It's right on the homepage. And let me know what you think. It's pretty amazing. And we've set it up for you tonight. Richard Dolan, UFOs, the media, mass media, coverage, disclosure. What do you think? It's Friday night, UFOs on Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Coast AM. I almost said Saturday night. It will be in 45 minutes. Friday night, standing in for George Norrie. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. It is open lines, and we will do that right now. I'm going to go top to bottom. Let's go to Wildcard Dave in New Jersey. You're up first on Coast, Dave. Welcome.
Jimmy, the call is coming from inside your studio.
Is it really? Well, it's dark in here, so you could be in any corner.
No, I'm calling from New Jersey.
Right on, Dave. What's on your mind?
Listen, on St. Paddy's Day 2005, I'm driving, and I noticed some lights in the sky. So I pulled into North Hudson Park, and this UFO, I thought it was a solid UFO, was in the lights were in the shape of a diamond, big on top, skinny at the end. So I watched this thing, and there's other guys in the park, and they got excited. And it went around the World Trade Center and became an arrow, like a triangle craft. So these are all individual little crafts. So I come home, I call Cliffside Park Police Department, it's where I live, and I said, you're going to think I'm nuts, but I just saw something very weird. He goes, you want 500 other people to call us. So then I go, okay, I'm going to call Tia Burr Airport. So I call, I said, we have somebody in the tower. So I said, I saw something very odd. He goes, oh, yeah, there's ultralights. I said, the ultralights didn't make any noise. So I pressed the guy, and he said, can I tell you something secret? I said, yeah. He said, that craft landed on our runway.
Wow.
How about that?
Wow. And so what color were the diamond shapes? What are we talking about here?
Well, they were little ships, but they took different shapes. They were red and green.
Very interesting. So
yeah, it was very weird here.
And now what about the ultralight excuse? What do you think about that?
Oh, he said, what was their exact words? The government, something like the government said, we can't say anything, or that's what we were told to say.
So this was St. Paddy's Day, you said, 2005?
Right, and I was not drunk at all.
Yeah, well, St. Paddy's Day, I wouldn't expect that you would be drinking.
Yeah.
But what about other reports in the media?
I think it's about time.
No, I mean on that day. Were there reports in the media on St. Paddy's Day 2005?
Nowhere to be found. Nothing.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, Dave, I'll keep watching Twitter tonight, and I'll see if anybody remembers that.
Yeah, it's very cool, man.
Thank you so much, Dave. Behave and be well. Let's go to Joe in Florida. Joe, you're up next on Coast. Welcome.
Hi, Jimmy. Jimmy, I just wanted to comment a couple of things that you were discussing. Well, real quick.
Okay, speak into the phone, Joe. I can barely hear you.
Can you hear me?
Okay, what's on your mind?
Okay. I just wanted to comment on a couple of discussions that you had before. The X planet, there was three astronomers that I had seen giving testimony that they'd never seen anything like that. Studying the stars, okay, the phenomenon itself. Three different astronomers
said what?
And I was in the military, and we had weapons that nobody even knew about, and of course they were displayed in the Gulf War. That was phenomenal, you know, the smart bomb and all that stuff, and the communications and network that was set up. I knew about it because we had this magazine sounding. But do you think that maybe that this is technology and that it's really people really want to know what they're seeing? And because somebody, your last host, turned around and said that money was being spent for UFO research, okay?
Mm-hmm.
there's a lot of money, and that's not on paper going towards military research. So it wouldn't raise flags, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, and we have to wait, Joe, and I appreciate you bringing up that point. A lot have been talking about that a lot lately, and it's really simple. $22 million is not a whole lot of money, especially by the Pentagon standards, and spread out over 5 years. I don't know what that breaks down to, you know, per day, but that's pocket change for the Pentagon. So I don't know if it's a whole lot of money being spent on UFO research. And I don't even know if it's UFO research. You know, some say it's aerospace, some say it's aviation. And so I really don't know the whole truth there. One thing is for sure, we need to just ride this out and find out what the real truth is when it comes to what is being spent on the UFO phenomenon out of the Pentagon. I don't know what that is. I don't. But we'll find out. I don't think you can keep that too secret for too long. The question is, what do they know and what are they going to tell us? And that's the big picture, and especially with Planet X. I think that does come into play, too. Thank you so much for the phone call, Joe. And that was from Florida. So let's go to West Coast. Let's go to Matt in Elk Grove, California. Matt, you're up next on Coast.
Awesome. I got through. I'm a first-time caller. How you doing tonight?
Doing good, Matt. What's on your mind?
Well, when it comes to these UFOs, we're always looking up in the sky. You know, we're like, oh, they're probably coming from other planets. You know, I've been thinking, you know, a lot of these sightings, maybe they're people from the future. They're coming back to warn us of something that's going to happen, something that we need to change. I mean, a lot of this technology.
You think it's us coming back to see ourselves and warn us about the future?
Yeah, I mean, it would make sense. I mean, you know, if you believe in, you know how they say history repeats itself, maybe they're coming back to help us with their technology to speed it up. I mean, we all live on a planet, right? And there's several other planets out there. It's impossible for us to be alone. I mean, it's astronomically impossible. I mean, there's other people out there, yes, but what I'm thinking is a lot of it might be interdimensional as well. I mean, there's different dimensions. We know that for a fact, and there's first, second, third, fourth, and there's things that we can't see at an atomic, you know, particle level, you know what I mean? I mean, there's things we can't see, and what I'm trying to get down to it is a lot of these things that we're seeing, maybe it's from the future, and it's coming back to us now. I mean, they're telling us to speed up the process, or they're telling us maybe we can do things differently.
Yeah, Matt, you're absolutely right. And I want to thank you for the phone call, and you bring up a really good point. If you think about it, and you go back to Rendlesham Force and what Jim Peniston said when he touched the object out there in the woods, that he got a vision or a download that craft was us. It wasn't E.T., that it was us from the future coming back to now. And you just never know. And it makes a lot of sense that a lot of these objects that we are seeing could be as simple as that. It could be us. Think about that. That's very interesting. Let's go Midwest. Let's go to Mike in Mount Pleasant, Wisconsin. Mike, you're up next.
Hi there. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good, Mike. How are you?
Okay, couple comments and a question. First of all, I have a cousin who works in the film production business. He does post-production work. And he told me about 20 years ago about there's going to be more and more TV shows and movies about UFOs coming out to condition all of us to a point where if there is no official disclosure, we won't all just drop dead from a heart attack or be in total shock. And that's what I've been seeing for like over 20 years now.
Right.
So I think that's the word you were looking for earlier when you were speaking to Richard Dolan. Number two, I guess you were joking around when you said you were looking for songs about guys named Tommy.
Well, oh, no, that was real. I just played Tommy James and the Shondells. I'm not joking.
Here's one for you. The Overture from Tommy by The Who. It's an instrumental piece. It's got an orchestra. It's really a butt kicker, and there's no singing.
I know. Oh, I was going to go there, Mike, but that's was just too easy.
But no. It's instrumental. A lot of people here, they won't recognize it. They've heard Pinball Wizard 10 million times. They've never heard the overture from Tommy, I'm guessing.
Oh, we've all heard the overture from Tommy. I mean, I did that every day at my lunch hour my freshman year in high school, but that's for another episode of Coast to Coast.
All right, here's a question for you. I first got acquainted with Coast to Coast about 20 years ago. I was driving taxis late at night. Of course, Art Bell was the originator. He was doing it then instead of George Norrie and, you know, Bill, you know, stand-ins and guys. He did a story about Mel's Hole.
Right. One of the greatest. That's one of the greatest radio broadcasts in history.
Whatever happened to that story? I haven't heard a word about it in 20 years.
Well, you know, it turned out to be just a story. But the thing is, it was one of the most two or three compelling nights of radio that I've ever heard, especially that first night with that 4-hour phone call. But Mel, I have to put on my thinking hat here. But Mel, Dan, you remember the Mel's Hole phone call, right? Were you here for that? Oh, you weren't working here then. I thought you were here for the last 25 years. See, the thing is, Dan is only 35 years old, and he's been, you know, child labor laws. He's been working here at Coast since he was 9. But I remember the follow-up to the story. I think Mel went to, like, Australia or something and had a mink farm, right? Wasn't it something crazy like that? He had a mink farm. Came back and tried to get back to the hole. Found another one out on an Indian reservation. Again... Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That I don't think any of it panned out. But for me, it doesn't matter. That first Mel's Hole night was one of the most fascinating nights in all of radio. That was great. That was radio history. Thank you for the phone call, Mike. Behave and be well.
That's right. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. Great phone call right there. Tommy, you're funny. That's funny. You know, Tommy, we should record your speaking into me, and we'll do a best of. You know, one weekend, and you and I could take the night off, and we could just roll our conversations. Yeah, I think we should do that. Let's go to Barbara, first-time caller line in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yes, hi.
Hi, Barbara. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm a little nervous. I've never done this before.
Calm down. Take a deep breath. It's okay.
Well, I'm calling in reference to the different comments that were made about why it is that all of a sudden we're hearing more from the media about the different kinds of UFO sightings and things like that.
What do you think is going on, Barbara? It's pretty crazy, isn't it?
Well, you know, I started listening before my computer died. I'm very sad about that. But before it died, I started seeking information on my own. And a lot of it was about UFO-type information. Some of which came from some media, people that had mediumistic abilities or channeling abilities, and some of it was from people like Dolores Cannon, who talked about her hypnosis and how she discovered about people being reincarnated and a whole lot more. She's written several books about this kind of stuff, and she talks about the wave of people that are supposed to be coming in and how they're supposed to be helping to raise vibrational consciousness of all of us on the planet.
Sure.
And basically, they say that part of the reason why aliens themselves didn't really want us to know right away was because it would have made, and I think some of the guests on the show have mentioned this before, that it would actually make governments collapse, religions collapse, because people would actually know what's really what and how things really are. And
that hasn't happened. And don't you find that strange? And there's another part to this story, Barbara. You're in Cincinnati. You're right there, Wright-Patterson, Hangar 18. Yeah. You've got a stone's throw from your house. You have alien bodies. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's quite possible. I really do. I don't think that that is the only place that they probably have them.
Probably not. When you drive by Wright Pat, and it's great, you see the American flags over the freeway, you know, and it's just a wonderful thing. But have you thought about that? That right over that fence, right over there, there's probably a flying saucer sitting in there. Do you ever think about that?
Well, no.
Why not? It's right there. It's part. It's part of UFO history.
Well, that's closer to Dayton, Ohio, than Cincinnati, so I don't drive by there really. I've visited the museum, but no, my brother was in the military there. I don't know. I wish he were still alive. I had to ask him about, you know, what his experiences were there. But
yeah, Dan and I were talking about that museum. Oddly enough, right before the show tonight. Isn't that strange?
Yeah, you know, some of the aircraft were supposed to be haunted, too. I have these books on Haunted Ohio, and she was talking about that. So I don't know, but anyway, I wish I had known that when I visited the first time I went. But
well, and back to your point before we hit the break, Barbara, and I do want to thank you for the call, but let me run this back to you. Do you think it is strange that the world didn't end once disclosure and the mass media started reporting on UFOs?
As far as the world not ending, I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch what it was you were saying in reference to.
I mean, panic in the streets, Armageddon, you know, anarchy, the religions collapse, the stock market. It was all supposed to end once we found out these things. The media does the best coverage that we've ever seen in history, and there was no panic in the streets, were there? It was okay in downtown Cincinnati, as far as I know.
No, but then people have never really been confronted by an alien and an actual aircraft shown like we would show somebody on the news. And I think even though people are really fascinated by it and interested in it, I think if it really happened, they would freak out a bit. At the very least, I think that maybe what those people were talking about when they were saying that even the aliens didn't think we were quite ready for it, I think that's probably true. I mean, really, when you think about it, people haven't known about, really accepted it, I should say, in society as much as they do now for very long. We've really, in the scheme of things, I think it's still fairly new information because, you know, in the past, it was a lot of cover-ups. We didn't have our cell phones. This is their cell phones to, you know, take pictures. All of the different kinds of equipment that we have now make it a lot easier to say, wait a minute, what about this? Tell me I'm lying now.
Yeah, you're right, Barbara. And you bring up a really, really good point. Thank you for the phone call. And my point or that I want to stress that she just made is that even though it seems new, I think that we're okay with movies like Independence Day and Star Wars and all of the other Close Encounters of the Third Kind. We're okay with that, right? Well, this is Coast to Coast AM, open line, standing in for George Norrie. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I was watching everybody's reactions on Twitter to that video of the mothership in, I think it's North Carolina. You can check it out over at coasttocoastam.com. It's right there. It's an incredible video. And I do want to hear your comments and read them, and I'll go ahead and do it on the air. Follow me on Twitter at JChurchRadio. Twitter is live right now to my left. Your comments, everybody's agreeing with me. That's pretty incredible. That's a really, really cool video. Don't know what it is. Don't know what it is, but it doesn't look CGI to me. It's an actual object. Now, what is the object? It's Friday night on Coast. Open lines. I am your host, Jimmy Church, standing in for George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM, standing in, not sitting, for George Norrie. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Friday night, open lines. So let's go to Wild Card. Always like Wild Card. Mike in Jamestown, North Carolina. Mike, what do you think about that video?
Hi, Jimmy. How are you?
What do you think about that video?
Well, I didn't have a chance to check it out. Where in North Carolina is that video? Do you know, please?
Well, you need to tell me, James. You're from North Carolina.
I'm here kind of like in the center of the state, but I'll definitely check that out. That's cool.
It's in Columbus.
Okay, I'll look on the map. I'm not exactly sure where that is, but I'll check it out on the map.
There you go. What's on your mind tonight, Mike?
Anyway, my question to you is, Do you think that it's a possibility that there are alien hybrids among us, or maybe we are, in fact, the hybrids ourselves, and we just don't know it, so?
Mike, let me ask you. Do you think it's a possibility?
Well, I mean, absolutely. I know, you know, some, you know, aliens look like humans, some don't. And I've noticed a lot of times that when you notice certain people's eyes, the eyes, it certainly looks like they've got some extraterrestrial DNA in them, no question. So,
well, Mike, okay, now check this out. This is how I think. So maybe you can, you know, just ponder this thought. All life on Earth. All life, everything, it doesn't matter what it is, the same basic 20 amino acids, same couple of identical chromosome pairs to kick off the DNA, everything is the same. So it must be the same, I would think, throughout the universe. You have different gravity levels on different planets and different, you know, chemical structure, you know, nitrogen or oxygen or whatever, you know, I understand that. But the basic elements of life must be the same. Chemicals are all the same. So why would it be out of possibilities that alien life would be very similar to us and that what we are is stardust and was created somewhere else? And so those seeds of life went throughout the universe. Why is that a stretch? I don't think it is.
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, I don't know. I mean, some psychic once told me years ago that she thought my great-grandfather was, you know, an extraterrestrial from another planet. And another psychic told me that I was born on another planet. So, who knows, like Superman or something, I mean.
Right. Okay. Now, look, I'm not saying that that is possible or it is not possible. But with what we know now, how many planets are out there, how many stars, you know, trillions we're talking about. And just in our galaxy alone, a half a billion to a trillion planets? Well, the odds of if you scrape off and go to a very small percentage, and let's say we're talking about a trillion. So let's go, what if we said a tenth of a percent? A tenth of a percent. Now we're talking about a million planets with life. A million, not two, right? Not just us. So the odds are in our favor that something out there much more advanced than us has been cruising by here and having fun for a very, very long time. I'm okay with that.
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just it's unfathomable how many what could be out there in the universe. I mean, we've only begun to scratch the surface of it so far. So the possibilities are just endless.
Are you cool with it? I am.
Absolutely.
Well, there you go, Mike, and that's why you're part of the Coast audience. Thank you for the phone call, my friend.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. That's a great phone call right there. All right, let's go to Eldon in Baltimore, Maryland. Eldon, you're up next on Coast. Welcome.
I think it's all just a religion, a religious ploy.
What's a religious ploy?
UFOs, myth.
Why would it be a ploy?
Because the one who created the earth created man, woman,
right,
and gave commands who they rejected. That rejection was by man's enemy, the devil, and he has been trying to persuade mankind of this myth. That's called unbelief, religion.
But why would it be a ploy? Why a ploy?
Because Satan's only desire is to destroy humanity.
Have you spoken to him? Have you spoken to him?
To Satan?
Sure.
You get to know who he is through the word, the command of who created mankind.
And that would be, and you're suggesting that as God. See, this is,
yes.
Eldon, you bring up a really good point. If I let me just I've thought about this a lot, and if I had an opportunity to speak to God, you know, just eyeball to eyeball, and you were sitting there next to me, right? It's Eldon and Jimmy talking to God. You know what I would ask?
Yes.
I would say, hey, God, check this out. You created everything. You know everything. You've got all the power, all the juice. How come you haven't kicked Satan's butt yet?
Okay.
That's my question. I can't figure that part out.
I want to answer you. He gave him that opportunity. He gave him that opportunity when he placed him in the garden. That's why he was alarmed. He asked Satan, who told you these words?
Well, I understand that part, Eldon. But I'm saying, why is it an issue today? Why are we still dealing with it? I mean, can't God help somebody out like me and just go and get rid of the problem so we can just have fun?
It's not a matter of getting rid of the problem. It's knowing. You see, when he gave that command, the people wanted to know his name, who he is. Why is this happening?
Who gave a command? I'm confused.
His creation.
Gave who a command?
The Jews.
He gave a command. Okay. I lost you, Eldon. But I was with you on the Satan thing.
The commandment.
Oh, the commandment.
Didn't he give Adam and Eve a commandment?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
3:10. He did.
Okay.
And they still didn't believe because through the centuries, they were still religious. He came himself. He manifested himself on the Mount of Horeb.
Okay, well, that's out of my, Eldon, that's out of my wheelhouse. Okay, we're way out of my wheelhouse, but...
That's why you believe in the UFOs, because you don't believe him.
Well, even so,
he came on Mount Horeb.
Eldon, I'm with you, but hear me out for a second. When I am driving in my car and a flying saucer flies over my car, I don't need to believe in anything. I just saw it. And if you are walking down the street and you see a bus drive by you, you don't have to question if you just saw a bus. What is somebody going to say to you? You didn't see that bus. That bus actually wasn't there. You're going to say, yes, I did. You don't have to believe that you saw the bus. You rode on the bus. So when I see a flying saucer, it is about belief. It's right there. I saw it, just like I see a bird or I see a bowl of chocolate pudding. It's as real to me as anything. I don't have to believe.
It's Satan tricks, man.
No, it's not Satan tricks.
You wouldn't recognize this because you are religious. That's all. Look at Moses. Moses saw
a UFO. I know, and that's incredible. He went out and saw a UFO, you know, and that guiding light through the sky.
Moses didn't see no UFO?
Yeah, he did.
Come on, man.
Come on, Eldon.
Moses saw the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he did on Mount of Transfiguration before Moses and Elijah. That's who he saw. He recognized who he saw, his glory.
It's all a possibility, Eldon, and I respect your commitment and your belief and your religion. I totally respect it. My take on all of this, Eldon, is that when we look at all of not only the Bible, other religious texts, other mythology, legends, folklore from around the world, from different cultures that have nothing to do with the Bible, nothing. The Bible wasn't written when ancient Egypt went through their stuff. It wasn't even around yet. Moses hadn't happened for 1,500 years. And when you look at all of these different sightings and comments and about knowledge coming from the stars, it was all before the Bible. And I have to look at all of that and try to figure out what is it that everybody was seeing. Could it all have been God?
Direction.
So, you know, and that's me. And that's the
you
beauty.
Have to
that's
look
the
at
beauty.
The one who created the invisible and the visible.
Yeah, E.T.
Jesus Christ.
E.T. I'm with you on that. It could be anything, Eldon. Okay? It could be anything. Nobody knows. One day we'll find out, though, and I hope you're right. And that's why, that's why you're allowed all the freedoms to do what you want and call into this show and have a conversation with me, and I respect that.
Okay, well, let me ask you one question before I leave.
Okay, it's got to be quick. Got to be quick, Eldon.
What is God's name?
I have no idea, but it starts with a G. It starts with a G. You just said it. What is God's name? I don't get it.
The Lord Jesus Christ.
What is your... No, he's the Son.
What? Son is the representation of the invisible God.
Well, that's all the power to you, Eldon.
Can you listen?
Yes.
Didn't he repeat the exact words he said to Moses, I am that I am on Mount Transfiguration? He said in John 14:6-9, I am the way, not God. That God there implies unbelief, religion.
Okay, I'm with you, Eldon. But what I'm trying to figure out is what is the connection to E.T. and that being a ploy?
So that's non-existent.
E.T. doesn't exist.
No.
Wow.
It's a myth.
It's a myth? What am I going to do?
Angel of light.
What am I going to do with myself now?
Absorb yourself in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is. That name.
No, Eldon, I need a job. And my job is this show. And if there's no E.T., I'm out of work. But, Eldon, have a great night, man, and behave, okay?
Okay.
Thank you, Eldon. That's a great conversation right there. I'll do that all day long. That is a great conversation. With that, and I'm laughing because Tommy's laughing at me, and that's not that funny. Let's go to, where did I go? I went to Mark in Alaska. Mark, you're up next on Coast.
Hello, Jim. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. What do you think about Tommy giving me that phone call? What do you think about that?
Well, I'll tell you what. I really think that Eldon was spot on. I'm a grateful native-born Alaskan-American from the 49th state.
Right.
And I just, I've been a longtime listener and a first-time caller.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to express my appreciation for you, the staff, and the listeners from coast to coast, within and beyond the borders, and express my appreciation as this is the 151st anniversary year of the Treaty of Session.
Is that right?
Yes.
Hold on, let me write that down. 151st?
Yes. 1867-2018, it's a significant part of our Northwest Arctic heritage and history.
Right.
North America's largest peninsula, the Great Land, Alaska, the 49th state. And the first 8 words of our Constitution is, we the people of Alaska, grateful to God. I just wanted to express my appreciation, thanks, and gratitude to our nation's veterans and encourage people to seek the Lord Jesus Christ.
Wow, we turned into, you know, is it my initials or something that is setting this off?
Hey.
I don't get this. Is it my last name?
I just noticed that, JC.
Right, now, hey. So, okay, Mark, okay. I see how you turned it around on me. But up in Alaska, there are reports nearly daily of lights in the sky. You've got your share of flying saucers and close encounters and abductions up there in Alaska. What do you think is going on?
Well, I think somewhere over there in the Nome area, there's a statistical significance of people missing. But also what's missing is our 9010. We need to keep our eyes on our 9010. And I'd like to ask you to pray for the preservation of our state and nation's providential land-based provisions that are under threat of theft.
Okay, you lost me there, but I hear you. How's that?
Hey, praise God.
Thank you, Mark. Behave and be well. Oh, what am I going to do with myself tonight on Coast to Coast? Let's go back to Alaska, since Tommy's insisting we stay up in the Great White North. Daniel, you're up next on Coast.
Hey there. It's an honor to talk to you. I've been listening since the Art Bell days. Man, what I have is a UFO story. I'm a pilot, and I was out in the practice area, and air traffic control said, okay, traffic at 3 o'clock, 1,000 feet. Yeah, I got it. Super Cub, I see it. Then I saw... Anyway, I have seen these unmanned helicopters. Well, they're drones, I guess.
You got to make it, Daniel. We're going to run out of time here. We've got to a break. So, really quick, can you give it to me in 30 seconds? What happened?
Okay. It looked like I could see a helicopter shape, but I could see through it. And so we have black spruce, and I could see black and green. And then when it flies over a swamp, it looked like a. So I know it wasn't a. I know it was one of our helicopters or drones, but man, it had some sort of. I could see through it. So it was just kind of a shadow shape.
Yeah,
but
that's. Yeah, Daniel.
It wasn't a real UFO. But man, they've got some really cool stuff.
I know, technology. See, that's cloaking technology right there. That's exactly what you saw, Daniel. That's a great sighting. This is Coast to Coast AM Friday night, standing for George Norrie, our Meals Jimmy Church. We'll be right back.